For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygen's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning. I'm very happy to have given the talk this morning, Reverend Hogetsu Belzer, who is our sewing teacher here. She teaches sewing of Buddha's robes, the lay ordination raksus and priest robes, and also is a former tenzo and a longtime practitioner here. So thank you very much, Hogetsu.
Thank you very much, Tygen. Good morning, Bodhisattvas.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. Hope there's been bunnies visiting. So I'm going to talk about some nonsense today. I'm always a little bit uncomfortable with speaking about the Dharma. Is there anything really to say? So, on that note, you know, we are just in the end of our first week or beginning of our second week, you know, however you want to calculate that, of I believe it's 8-week practice commitment period. And some of us are participating in that, and it's sort of a tradition in Buddhism to have certain times of year where there's more intensive practice. So some of us are participating in that in a formal way, but all of you are here today, and we're all practicing this great practice of the Buddha Way together. The theme or the text that we're using in this practice commitment period is the Song of the Precious Mirror Samadhi. And those of you who have chant books, you might turn to the page that contains the Song of the Precious Mirror Samadhi. Is it like 9 or 10? Does anyone know?
Yeah, I think it's 10.
10? I thought it might be a good idea just to read it through together. Tygen has invited me and some other people in the practice period, actually the entire practice period, to pick a line or two from this, or have a guess however many lines they really want, to work with. So I will share what I'm working with, but I thought we all might want to at least be on the same page. So does anyone need a chant book?
Are there any extras available?
Here's some Song of the Precious Mirror Samadhi.
Well, there's some extras back there, Roy. Could you pass that back down?
Yeah.
This is more kind of
okay.
Jeremy and I will
teach more. Okay.
Do you need one, Isha?
Okay. Many of you might be very familiar with this text, but for those of us who aren't, and it never hurts to recite it. So let's just all read through this Hokyo Zamai. I just want to make sure. I think I have the same text you do. So, Song of the... And we'll just read it like reading, you know. None of this chanting business. But Song of the Precious Mirror Samadhi. So let's all just read it together. The Dharma of thusness is intimately transmitted by Buddhas and ancestors. Now you have it, preserve it well. A silver bowl filled with snow, a heron hidden in the moon. Taken as similar, they are not the same. Not distinguished, their places are known. The meaning does not reside in the words, but a pivotal moment brings it forth.
Move and you are trapped. Miss and you fall into doubt and vacillation. Turning away and touching are both wrong, for it is like a massive fire. Just to portray it in literary form is to stain it with defilement. In darkest night it is perfectly clear. In the light of dawn it is hidden. It is a standard for all things. Its use removes all suffering. Although it is not constructed, it is not beyond words. Like facing a precious mirror, form and reflection behold each other. You are not it, but in truth it is you. Like a newborn child, it is fully endowed with five aspects. No going, no coming, no arising, no abiding. Ba-ba-ba-ba, is anything said or not? In the end, it says nothing, for the words are not yet right. In the illumination textogram, inclined and upright interact. Piled up, they become three. The permutations make five. Like the taste of the five-flavored herb. Like the five-pronged vajra. Wondrously embraced within the real. Drumming and singing begin together. Penetrate the source and travel the pathways. Embrace the territory and treasure the roads. You would do well to respect this. Do not neglect it. Natural and wondrous, it is not a matter of delusion or enlightenment. Within causes and conditions, time and season, it is serene and illuminating. So minute it enters where there is no gap. So vast it transcends dimension. A hair's breadth deviation and you are out of tune. Now there are sudden and gradual in which teachings and approaches arise. When teachings and approaches are extinguished, each has a standard. Whether teachings and approaches are mastered or not, reality constantly flows. Outside still and inside trembling, like tethered gulls or cowering rats, the ancient sages grieve for them and offer them dharma. Led by their inverted views, they take black for white. When inverted thinking stops, the affirming mind naturally accords. If you want to follow in the ancient tracks, please observe the sages of the past. One on the verge of realizing the Buddha way, contemplated a tree for 10 kalpas. Like a battle-star tiger, like a horse with shanks gone gray. Because some are clad in jeweled tables and ornate robes. Because some are wide-eyed cats and white oxen. With his archer's skill, he yeeted the mark at 100 paces. But when arrows meet head-on, how could it be a matter of skill? The wooden man starts to sing, the stone woman gets up dancing. It is not reached by feelings or consciousness. How could it involve deliberation? Ministers serve their lords, children obey their parents. Not obeying is not filial. Failure to serve is no help. With practice hidden, function secretly, like a fool, like an idiot. Just to do this continuously is all a host within the host.
Whoa, that's kind of a lot said. So Taigen invited me to respond to lines of my choosing in this verse teaching, this poem, the song of the precious mirror, or the jeweled mirror, Samadhi. Just the title in and of itself is a lifetime of practice. You know, this word samadhi, which, you know, you might call concentrated state or meditative state or state of mind. You know, just the visual of this jeweled mirror, this state of mind where a mirror encrusted with jewels. Upon jewels, upon jewels, upon jewels, upon jewels, reflecting each other. Pretty good. There's all sorts of states of meditative states that happen when we practice. But this teaching poem is kind of a treasure chest packed full of the jewels of the philosophy that kind of underlies Soto Zen, which is our school of Zen Buddhism, attributed to our great ancestor Dongshan Liangjie, a 9th century Zen master. And I'm sort of like, what does this 9th century stuff, Chinese stuff, have to do with our life? So I chose one of the more profound lines to talk about. Ba, ba, wa, wa. Is anything said or not? So there's ways to practice, with these kinds of teachings. One is just to recite it like we did and let your body absorb it. Your body, your mind, your consciousness, your voice. There's a cellular kind of level that just repeating a teaching like this, ba, ba, wa, wa, or the entire dual mirror samadhi, absorbing that, you can study the philosophy of it, and this is chock full of philosophy. I'm not a philosopher, so Taigen will probably talk a lot, and others will talk a lot, elucidating the deep kind of philosophy of the Soto Zen school, Saodong school. But I actually, you can meditate, contemplate, express these teachings. Every single character line in this, in the Chinese, each one is a character, not just a word. You can probably just spend a lifetime on any one of them. But today I'm just going to inflict baba wawa on y'all. One of the great mysteries I find in this text in particular is there's a subversion of words and language, yet it uses a ton of words and language. So maybe the point is not in the words, but how do you use words to convey or transmit something that's inconceivable and really beyond our imaginations? Ba, ba, wa, wa. So I don't know, is anything said or not? I don't know if anything's said. But I do think we're always in communication. Maybe the words, who knows what they mean, but there's always a communication and a communion that we're engaged in constantly with each other, but with every single aspect of our experience. Such as this beautiful white cup filled with clear water, which will slake my thirst. So that's one response I had to this baba wawas. Everything we're saying to each other is communication, and it's communion. It's a shared experience. It's coming together. In some ways, ba ba wa wa, technically speaking, is baby talk. Has anyone been talking to babies at all recently? Kev, have you?
Yeah, yesterday at a yoga class, somebody who's been in my class was nursing her 9-month-old baby, and the baby was talking to me.
What did it say?
Yeah.
Yeah, so lately, in the past year, I've been really blessed with the appearance in this world of my twin nieces, who are now about a little over 1 year old. And I've spent a lot of time with them. And So there's a lot of baba wawa in my life, especially right now, because this is a time when the, you know, a lot of vocalizing is starting to happen. And somehow, you know, babies are amazing. They bring us to the present moment immediately. With whatever little noise they make, there's this tendency of like, how can I help you? What do you need? What are you communicating to me? You know, it's not even so many words there. But, you know, babies' cries, everybody hears a baby's cry and attends to it. You know, you're on the plane, you're like, what's that? I'll get that baby off of this plane, please. but they are calling us to attention, to meet them directly. And actually, we're all doing this. Everything in the universe is actually doing this all the time. But we kind of miss it. And my hope is that in our practice, we cultivate this. All the jewels are talking to us at all times. And maybe we get ready to meet them. So, you know, wow, the present moment is always wow. It's requesting our presence. And a response, you know, a bottle, a diaper change, an embrace. And we never quite know what the request is. You know, it's this kind of communion. It's this interchange, this act of sharing and mutual response and rapport. This is the Dharma of thusness that's talked about in that very first line. That's intimately communicated, conveyed. So I think babies are kind of like nice little beings that help us, remind us of this relationship that we're always in, and this kind of, you know, we don't know what a baby needs, especially initially. Usually parents with new babies, they're like, what am I doing? You know, and they're scared, you know. And I think this is actually a nice attitude. It's like a beginner's mind that Suzuki Roshi talks to us about. This, you know, what now? How do I meet this moment? How do I be open to an experience? And, you know, over time, of course, you know, as babies grow up, we actually think we know who they are. We have certain ideas. We think we know what they want. We think we know what their words mean, you know, when they start to make more sense to us. We think we know that with each other. We think, you know, this is... But I think, like, always that kind of willingness to be in this not knowing is ba-ba-wa-wa. You know, is there anything said? What's the message here? How am I connecting to the situation? In a situation that I can never really know. You know, there's this... All throughout this precious mirror samadhi is this sense that reality is constantly flowing. We can't know it. It's changing continually, moment by moment. So, you know, we hear baba wawa sometimes with our eyes. There's a synesthetic quality of how we actually communicate. It's not just with our hearts, you know, it's not just with our voice. You know, one diaper after another. One baby wipe. You know, do we hear baba wawa that the diaper is crying out to us? Or the diaper genie, which needs to be... It's a little fight in the household about who empties the diaper bin. You know. How do we respond to these things? A lot could be said. What's the time frame on this talk?
We can keep going. I don't know, a little after 11.
A little after 11? Yeah. Oh, so there's time. Okay, let's rock. So, I mentioned Suzuki Roshi. But, you know, lots of things. So there's beginner's mind, which I might come back to at some point. But maybe I'll talk a little about our great ancestor, Dongshan. Right? This old geezer. Maybe he wasn't that old, I don't know. lived in China a long time ago.
Once he was a baby, said Baba.
He probably did. I bet he was really cute. I must confess that I have a super great fondness for Dongshan, and have. It was kind of interesting when I was going through some of my books, I found like these notes that are kind of funny. Like, what kind of guy was he, this Dongshan? He's running around Southeast China. So Dongshan actually, you know, as a young person, very young, probably teenager or so, was, you know, kind of bright and, you know, asking these questions. And, you know, his first tutor says, I'm not capable of being your teacher. Second guy, another famous Zen teacher, Nanchuan, sent him down the road again. You know, because he was always asking these questions that would seem kind of simple, you know. Goes to another one, asks the guy a question, and this famous Zen teacher gives him an answer, Guaishan gives him an answer to his question, and Dongshan says, you know, I still don't understand it clearly. I don't understand your answer. Would the master please comment? And the master raises his whisk, you know, symbol of the teaching, which is like some brilliant mode, like, don't you get it yet? Do you understand? Dongshan says, no, I don't. Sorry. He says, okay, look, go down the road again. And Dongshan accordingly took leave of Guaishan and proceeded directly to Yunyan's. So like directly, you know, do not pass go, you know, just go. And comes up with the same question, which is, so this question that that was kind of bothering him was something he'd heard about. When somebody asked a master, what sort of thing is the mind of the ancient Buddhas? Or what's like the teaching? And this national teacher replied, it's wall and tile rubble. And the monk who asked the question said, wall and tile rubble, isn't that something non-sentient, non-thinking? It is, replied the national teacher. And the monk said, and yet it can expound the Dharma? A diaper can expound the Dharma? Oops, I editorialized there. But the national teacher said, it is constantly expounding the Dharma, radiantly expounding it without ceasing. And the monk asked, why haven't I heard it? So, you know, Dongshan's running around going, why can't I hear this teaching? You know, I hear people speak, ba ba wa wa, but I don't hear the Dharma from everything else in life. So he ends up at Yunyan's and tells Yunyan about this encounter. And he says, he immediately asked, what sort of person is able to hear the Dharma expounded by non-sentient beings? By cups? Slurps? Giggles? Easter bunnies? What sort of person is able to hear that Dharma? And Yunyan said, non-sentient beings are able to hear it. Dongshan, you know, he wasn't quite satisfied yet. So he says, okay, Yunyan, can you hear it? And Yunyan said, if I could hear it, then you would not be able to hear the Dharma that I teach. And Dongshan said, why can't I hear it? And Yunyan raised his whisk and said, can you hear it yet? Here's my Dharma, can you hear it? But he's not saying anything, he's just showing a whisk. And Dongshan said, no, I can't. And Yunyan said, well, you can't even hear it when I expound the Dharma. How could you hear it when a non-sentient being expounds it? Somehow this must have impressed Yunyan. about Yunyan Dongshan. And Dongshan says, asks again, he goes, well, what sutra? You know, what is the Buddhist Bible that says non-sentient beings expound the Dharma? He's still not convinced. And Yunyan said, haven't you seen it? In the Amitabha Sutra, it says, water birds, tree groves, all without exception, recite the Buddha's name, recite the Dharma. And somehow, whatever words Yunyan was speaking here impacted Dongshan. So he found the right way to communicate with him. And reflecting on this, Dongshan composed the following verse. How amazing. It's hard to comprehend that non-sentient beings expound the Dharma. It cannot be heard with the ear. But when sound is heard with the eye, then it's understood. It's kind of wild, like it's almost psychedelic, hearing with your eyes. But this is the sort of, you know, like kind of person Dongshan was. He was sort of, I mean, there's something kind of sweet about being like, I don't get it yet, teacher. Help me out with this. You know, this kind of intimate communication. And then finally he gets it and he's kind of joyous, you know, how amazing, jumping up and down. Aha, non-sentient beings. But we might, you know, so I don't know what I'm hearing, you know, with my hand or with my eyes, but the only way that we encounter the world that I know of is through our senses. And it's the only way that we receive Dharma. The mind is also a sense, by the way, in Buddhism, strictly speaking. So, Baba Wawa is just like a reflection in this teacup, in your life, in a jewel. So I was reminded, actually, of another great teaching. If anybody's familiar with the Ode to Common Things by Pablo Neruda, it's a wonderful teaching. I'm going to read a little, inflict a little bit of this upon you. So beautiful, a salt shaker, beautifully drawn salt shaker. So Neruda begins, I have a crazy, crazy love of things, like pliers and scissors. I love cups, rings, and bowls. Not to speak, of course, of hats. I love all things, not just the grandest, also the infinitely small thimbles, spurs, plates, and flower vases. Then he ends with what I consider sort of a prayer, you know. Oh, irrevocable river of things. No one can say that I loved only fish or the plants of the jungle and the field, that I loved only things that leap, climb, desire, and survive. It's not true. Many things conspire to tell me the whole story. Not only did they touch me, or my hand touched them, they were so close that they were a part of my being. They were so alive with me that they lived half my life and will die half my death. So, I don't know if Neruda ever heard of the song of the jeweled mirror samadhi. But somehow, I feel he expresses some of that spirit of appreciation and sense of communality with every particle of our particular human experience. So sometimes maybe ba ba wa wa is all we can really say to such a amazing thing that we have in this precious short life of ours. So we have this constant communication that maybe our zazen helps us to realize and inhabit more fully. It's always happening whether we realize it or not, but maybe it's just our sort of lot in life that brings you here to this weird meditation practice on an Easter Sunday because you want to be able to hear with your hands, to appreciate a salt shaker. But I don't know. You have to find out for yourself what brings you here. So I thought of Deng Shan, who I was very fond of, who's asking these questions, and of Neruda. And I think I want to end with this sort of mind, you know, this ba-ba-wa-wa is like a beginner's mind, right? And our great text of American Buddhism is Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Suzuki Roshi, right? Collection of his lectures. The very last few lines of this Zen Mind Beginners. Everybody knows about this book, right? And it's the text. So it looks like that's Suzuki Roshi's calligraphy, right? Mm-hmm. Beginner's Mind. That's a heart. Heart. This ends with, we must have a beginner's mind, free from possessing anything. A mind that knows everything is flowing. Everything is in flowing change. Nothing exists, but momentarily in its present form and color or sound. One thing flows into another and cannot be grasped. So baba wa wa, don't hang on to it, just let it flow. Baba wa 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 wa. One thing flows into another and cannot be grasped. Before the rain stops, we hear a bird. Even under the heavy snow, we see snowdrops and some new growth. In the east, I saw rhubarb already. In Japan, in the spring, we eat cucumbers. Thank you, Suzuki Roshi, for bringing Zen to America, and thank you, Bodhisattvas, for listening to my babble. Does anybody else have something they'd like to talk about? Share?
John?
I don't understand much of this, so I might be completely off target, but this is what I thought of. When my children were small, and blah, 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 did a lot, I think I understood them better because the needs were simpler. And now they're older, we communicate more elaborately, which, but in many ways, I know them less. And one of the side benefits of coming here on Sunday is that I often have coffee with my daughter. And when we talk about it, I'm still surprised to learn things about her. And my parents, who are now gone, I learn things about them through my senses as my knees and back hurt. So that's what I thought about that.
Thank you. And it's, again, that beginner's mind of always learning and open to your experience. There's a poignancy to that. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for your talk. It feels to me like what that does, the whole ideas that you were presenting, what it does for me is sometimes I can be so much in a search, you know, thinking through how to understand, how to make sense, what I should be doing, that it's like I lose track. I can't see those simple things or feel them, you know, which sometimes when I slow down, I do. Like yesterday in my yoga class, this couple who have the 9-month-old infant, you know, at the end she says, everybody, if you want to relax, do the happy baby pose. And they started giggling. And I said, oh, it's so funny. And they said, our baby does this every night on the change table. But it was, there was a sense of, I got the sense that they were sharing what it felt like to the baby. And it felt good to them too. And then they communicated it to me. But those are things where you just feel something, you know, and other times where you feel things that you know something, but you can't necessarily describe it.
Mm-hmm. But you did a nice job describing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that it's kind of amazing, isn't it, how readily babies allow you to change them? They're just like, here, take my poop. No, it's just right there, you know. Whereas, you know, we try to hide that from each other usually. Don't want to show you that. But babies are like, yeah, here I am. So sometimes they're squirming, going, no, I don't want you to touch me.
Thank you for your talk. A long time ago, I asked a person whose primary language was Russian, and I asked her, I said, what did English sound like before you were an English speaker? And she said, it sounded weird. And that makes me think that everything that's said is a little bit of Baba Wawa, whether, you know, we understand the language or or not.
Yes. Right.
I'm not sure if this has anything to do with anything, but
good.
I shouldn't say anything. Well, I, you know, grew up in a religious environment where we spoke in tongues, and the Baba Wawa is reminding me of that. Mm-hmm. And the sort of it was very difficult for many people to start to do that. And if you think about, you know, if you kind of just thought, oh, well, anybody can just make up words, but it really is not just making up words. There's a letting go and allowing things to go through that I think is very much like an infant that will, you know, and just stuff that, because it feels good, you know. And I think there's so much in language where we get so caught up with being understood, with being logical, with meeting those more, you know, needs that involve the ego and identity, and you've got to understand me and my perspective. Mm-hmm. And there's so much in the Baba Wawa of just allowing things to flow, and that's where our joy comes from. Mm-hmm. So much in the more basic, just enjoying the back and forth and not control.
Yeah, thank you for that. Not controlling, not obstructing, not trying to make it into something else, and expressing yourself fully in this moment without hesitation. Yeah, I hadn't thought of speaking in tongues, but It's a lot like that, I think.
Yeah, just to listen to our the sounds of our
So this is why sometimes we just light incense. Which goes up in smoke.
And yeah, in that sense, it's all just offering. Mm-hmm. We're offering ourselves to, you know, everything.